And remain standing. Take your Bibles. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 3 through 5 together. Tell you what, I'll read verses 3 and 4. You join me on verse number 5. And then we're going to read one other verse that we'll all read together as well, just a page or so away. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 5. I'll read verses 3 and 4. You join me on verse 5. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 5. Ready? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And take your Bible, turn back a page. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 11. 2 Corinthians 2, verse number 11. Let's read this all together in unison. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11. Ready? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And let's pray. Holy Spirit of God, we need you today. I pray that you'd use the sermon today to challenge us, inspire us, maybe even see eternity changed because of it. May we allow the Holy Spirit to work through my voice and to the ears, hearts, lives, and feet of our people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me start this morning. I plan to get you out right at noon. I really am going to do that one way or the other. You might not think it, but I will. So just relax. You say, why? I'm hungry. No, I don't plan to preach long. I may preach hard today, but I'm not preaching hard at you necessarily. I'm preaching hard because of the topic today requiring it. And if you'll pay attention, I think I can help you. I'm going to start with a statement that might sound strange for a Sunday morning sermon. The devil is real. The devil is real. His power and his influence are real. My dear friend, let me say this to you. If you are saved, you don't have to let him fool you, trick you, and trip you up. You don't have to. If you're saved, you have God the Holy Spirit inside of you. And can I tell you this? The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That's who's right. In the world? Amen. That's the devil. Yes, God's power is more powerful than the devil's power. Brother Barnes, can you cut me just a hair down? I got just a little bit of a ring right there. I'll supply the rest of the power, trust me. You, in your own power, though, are not strong enough to battle the devil.
That's right.
You are no match for the devil. Now, I think we often give the devil too much credit, though. He is not like God, being able to be everywhere, bothering everybody all at the same time. The devil is not omnipresent. He is a single being.
Yes.
And may I say this, most of us don't understand what the devil attacking us means. I love you, but here we go. You ready? Just because you stubbed your toe this morning doesn't mean that the devil was attacking you.
Right.
You cracking your toe into the bed or the footstool or whatever it was didn't mean the devil was attacking you. Just because you got a flat tire this week or you had your car break down, it wasn't necessarily the devil attacking you.
Right.
Did you know that lost people stubbed their toes this morning?
Yeah.
Did you know that lost people had flat tires this week?
Yes.
That was not the devil attacking you. Just because your curling iron broke doesn't mean the devil's attacking you. No worries, Brother Stoltz, at all. You could use a pencil with no heat, amen? and it'd have to be one of the thin ones, yeah. Not one of the big ones. Now, wait a minute. We think that any opposition is the devil attacking us. We think if we were sick this week that the devil was after me. Well, just because your nose got stopped up and you had to blow it more and you didn't feel good doesn't mean the devil's fighting you. Satan's attacks are scripturally very specific. I want you to notice something. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 3. But if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Watch this. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Can I tell you what the devil's devices are? He is trying to keep the gospel from getting out to people.
Yes, sir.
You stubbing your toe isn't necessarily an attack of the devil. You can stub your toe and still tell somebody about Jesus. You might have to take your thumb out of your mouth to do it, but you can still tell somebody about Jesus. The devil's attacks are to hide the gospel from the lost, to keep them from hearing the truth, to keep them from getting saved. That is what the devil is fighting for. Anything that is getting the gospel out, getting the truth out, you can mark it down, the devil is fighting it.
Yes, sir.
I hate to tell you this. This is going to hurt. Let me ask you a question. Do you do anything to get the devil's attention? Are you even on the devil's radar screen? Do you get enough of the gospel out to where you would even be a target to the devil? Everybody doing okay? You know, the devil doesn't have to worry about most Christians because they sit on their blessed assurance doing nothing about the gospel. We sing, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Yeah, and that's about as far as it goes because we haven't told anybody about him. We haven't invited anybody to church. We haven't laid out a gospel track anywhere to anybody. And the devil doesn't have to worry about you. You will not face the devil's attacks unless you're a part of getting the gospel out to people. You know, the lost are not getting the truth out, so the devil doesn't have to fight them. I hate to disappoint you. The devil wasn't at the bar last night. The devil wasn't on the side of the street corner making the drug deal. He's already got them. They're already hiding from the truth. They're already staying away from the truth. The light of the gospel is not on them. He was against that person who is a soul winner, though. He was against those churches that are preaching the gospel and getting the gospel out to people the right way.
Yes.
He was against that pastor who is going to preach the gospel and declare it, lift up his voice like a trumpet and tell the truth and not preach some mamby-pamby watered-down sissy britches gospel.
Yeah.
He's not even concerned about the churches that don't use the right Bible. Don't get mad at me. Joel Osteen didn't get his attention. Grace Baptist Church did. Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
I'm having fun right now. You know, the Christians and the churches who do nothing to get the truth or the gospel to the lost are not the object of his attention. He is only focused on that which gets the gospel out and gets the truth out to people to see people get saved. God tells us in 2 Corinthians 2, verse number 11, lest we should be ignorant of Satan's devices. Now, today, I want to show you what these devices are of the devil. The word device doesn't mean gadget. All right? This microphone is a device, but it's an actual object. God said, lest you should be ignorant of Satan's devices. That word device is only used one time in Scripture in that way, and that Greek word literally means understanding or intellectual perception of an issue. It has to do with your comprehension of something, not an actual object. Does that make sense to everybody? The devil isn't coming down in St. Christopher and putting it on your dashboard, or St. Michael, or St. whoever, St. Irma. I have no idea. We know it's not St. Barack. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. That's the devil saint. Now, it's not a gadget. It's a mindset. Satan is opposing this church. Can I tell you why? Because we've had three or four people saved already this week. Amen. We've had people saved for 5 years in a row. September 24th will be our fifth anniversary. And for five solid years, we have people saved every week for 5 years.
Amen.
I'd say the devil is after us. Say, what's the holdup with the building, preacher? Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. He's fighting it because we're going to get the truth out. We're the bullseye of his target. Matter of fact, we're not just the bullseye. I want to be the center of the X in the middle of the bullseye on the target.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to give you seven things very quickly here to show you what Satan's devices are and what he is using to attack us. Number one, Satan uses success to attack us. Satan uses success to attack us. He gets us working and making money becomes more important than going to church and going soul winning. Amen, preacher.
Yes, sir.
I'm for you working. I'm for you making money, especially if you tithe. I'm for you doing all those things, but when your success comes before your walk with God, Satan's got the advantage over you.
That's right.
I'm for you making lots of money. But if you're not walking with God, not seeing people get saved, not obeying God in the process, what good was making all that money?
That's right.
Talk to a Russell Anderson who's given away over $100 million to the cause of Christ. Every day while he was running six different businesses, he got up and spent the first 2 hours of every day in his Bible and praying. While he made tens of millions of dollars every year. Could that be why God's used Russell Anderson to see millions of people get saved with his money? I'd say the devil's after Dr. Anderson. You say, why is that? Because he didn't let his success keep him from God. He let his success drive him to God. At one point in time, he was giving 90% of his income away. He lived on 10% and said, God, I'll live on the tithe. You can take the rest. Man, I love that. How many times have you heard this if you've knocked on doors? Well, Sunday's my only day off. Wonder how many people are mowing their grass today, sitting in bed still, having their brunch, playing games, out on the golf course, out in their boat, doing different things, and have not given God 1 second today. Well, it's my only day off. And maybe your success has taken you away from God. We buy nicer cars, we buy bigger houses, we buy bigger toys and bigger gadgets to work more time so that we have less time to serve God. I'm not against nice cars. I'm not against nice houses. I'm not against any of the nice toys you have. But if they keep you from going soul winning and getting the gospel out and being faithful to church, I don't care if it's a Volkswagen, a Beetlebug, or if it's a Lincoln Town Car. It wouldn't be a Cadillac. I said nice cars. Anyway, got to say that. But yes, sir, amen. My inheritance was from Ford, amen. I mean, now wait a minute. It doesn't matter how expensive it is. If it's out of your budget that you've got to work more and it takes you away from God, then it's wrong.
Amen. Yes, sir, it's right.
So one of Satan's devices are the is the success we have in life. Can I tell you something? Anything that you put before soul winning, anything you put before your walk with God is a device of the devil. Whether it be your stupid cell phone, your computer, your job, or anything else that keeps you successful. Amen, preacher. That's good stuff. The more you have, the more you begin to trust yourself, and the less you'll trust God.
Brother June, you know this is true. You can go to a poor neighborhood, and it's a little easier to get people saved.
Yes, sir. That's right.
They don't have as many things to trust, so they're willing to trust Christ as their Savior. As Brother Hiles used to say, you go to Silk Stock and Lane, and you go to the $1 million estates and go soul winning and find out how fun it is. I'm not against $1 million estates. Not at all. I'm against it for me because I can't afford it. But I've knocked doors on homes that are worth millions of dollars. They have multiple cars in the garage and boats. Their children drive nicer things to school than I have ever owned. And they say, what do I need God for? I have all these things.
Look at the success I've had. Why do I need God? Because when your body takes its last breath, where's it going? Doesn't matter if you're on Skid Row or you're at the top of the homing chain. It does not matter. When you die, you take nothing with you.
That's right.
But man, in his success, has a tendency to pull away from God. It's very unusual to find successful people who are financially successful that are concerned about the gospel too. But I'll promise you one thing, those that are find greater satisfaction in their success.
Amen.
So, if you get too successful to get people saved, you're too successful.
Yes, sir.
I realize man has to work. I realize some of you men can't make Wednesday evening church because of your jobs. I understand that. I think you ought to be in church every chance you get. Amen. I don't think we ought to choose to work if we can get out of it during church time.
Yes,
choosing to work during church time is different than, well, something came up at work and I was forced to stay. When I went through Bible college, 4 years of Bible college, I think I went to Wednesday night church twice. I didn't go to church on Wednesday night, and I was a preacher. But I had a job. I had bills to pay. I went to school all day, took 18, 20, 21, 22 hours of class, worked from 4 to midnight every Monday through Friday. I didn't have a choice. But I promise you one thing, unless I'm just about dead, I'm at church. Please don't mistake this. About four and a half, 5 years ago, I had a kidney stone on a Wednesday morning and preached church Wednesday night. I don't remember what I said.
It was good, though.
I was on painkillers. I still don't remember what I said, nor do I care, but I was here.
Amen.
About a year and a half ago, I preached the entire month of December with walking pneumonia, every service. Every service. Matter of fact, there was times Brother Stoltz gave the announcements because I was up here talking like this. And I'd get up and we'd read the scripture and I'd start preaching. My voice came back like this. And as soon as the piano started playing the invitation, I was back talking like this. You say, did you feel real well? Most of the time, I felt like if I died, it would have been better. Brother Stoltz will tell you there was times back in my office, I'd look at him and say, Brother Stoltz, if I pass out, just roll me over and start preaching. I felt that bad. I didn't feel like being there, but I was there. I'm not asking you to come when you've got pneumonia, all right? I don't think that's wise. It's my job, not yours. But I do think that we choose in our success, well, I can make a little bit more money if I work over tonight. Why don't we put God first and see what God can do?
Amen.
Number two. So number one, God uses our success. Number two, Satan uses our health to attack us. It amazes me how sick people can be on Sunday or on Wednesday to miss church. But by Monday morning, they're back at work, no problem. Amen, preacher. I talked to a lady this week. We'll tell you who it is. They said, when I first started going soul winning, every day that I was supposed to go soul winning, every day for the first month that I was going on a certain set time, I had a migraine headache. And they said, I decided I was going whether I had a headache or not, took some Tylenol or whatever you take for a migraine. I have no idea. Never had one that I know of. But took Tylenol and said, by the time I got to the church and we broke up and started soul winning, the headache was gone. But if I'd have listened to myself, I'd have crawled back in bed and not gone. Can I tell you something? I can't promise you that you're not going to have a headache when you go soul winning. I've gotten headaches while I'm going soul winning. I've gotten other aches while I'm going soul winning. But may I say this, if you allow your health to stop you. Now, I realize some of you older folks that can't get around. But you do go out to eat. You could at least leave a gospel tract somewhere. You could at least talk to a waitress and invite them to church. You have people that knock on your door. Good night. I got to go knock on the door. You got somebody knocks on your door, talk to them, corner them, amen. Somebody came around asking for donations while I was at my mom and dad's house one day. My dad said, sure, I got one. Reached in his pocket, handed him a gospel tract, invited him to church. I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. Wait a minute. I know people who the doctor or the psychologist says, well, you're too stressed. You need to miss church. You need to cut your church things because you have too much stress in your life. God bless your pea-picking little heart. Can I tell you something? You need church more than you need laying on the couch somewhere.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I'm going to get in trouble on this one. Nobody's old enough to... Okay. Well, the baby is sick. Isn't it amazing how six people have to stay home to blow one nose? Isn't it amazing that one kid's got a diaper that is leaking everywhere because they got problems with the oil and lube, amen? But everybody in the family has to stay home because the baby is sick? Can I tell you something? I understand what it's like having sick kids. You ought to be sitting on the platform in front of 7,000 people, and your wife and your children are sitting on the second or third row right down there in front of the preacher, and one of them says, Mommy, I'm sick, and on the way out throws up everywhere. And the preacher turns around and says, Brother Bush, isn't that one yours? Yeah. Ain't nothing you can do about it. You say, were you embarrassed? No, because every parent in the world has had the same thing happen. And I heard my pastor say, don't you worry about it. His kids are no different than your kids. Your kids throw up, so does his. Everything's fine. Mrs. Bush, don't you worry. As she's dragging one out, going all over the floor, you know. Been there, done that. No problem. Now, wait a minute. I don't want to take my child to the nursery. There's germs there. Do you know how many germs are in your house? I hate to disappoint you. There's as many germs in your house as there is anybody else's. Now, I think if you come and you got a high fever or you're throwing up, I think you ought to stay home so you don't give it to everybody.
Right.
There's a reason every Sunday morning I get here real early. And sometime in the morning I get those Lysol wipes and I wipe down the doorknobs and I wipe down every handrail. I wipe down the doorknobs inside and outside to the two doors downstairs. I wipe off the elevator pad and the buttons and everything. I wipe off the handrail in the elevator. I wipe off the seats that Brother Stolt and I sit on and the little handrail that's out there. You say, why, are you a germaphobe? No, I'm not mung. I will say this. I believe God's done that to help us stay a little healthier. You ought to see some of the filth that comes off that stuff. You don't know how many people are here in a week. I do. And I wipe off the doorknobs to the bathrooms, and I wipe off all the little things where the towel rack is, and I wipe off the fixtures just to make sure. And that's long before any of you get here. You say, why? Because I believe in being as healthy as we can.
Yes.
But may I say this? You're going to get sick sometime in life. You're going to get a snotty nose. You're going to get a fever. You're going to get the flu. I hate to disappoint you. Some of that's healthy. You need some of that to build up a resistance against it. That's how you do it. It's a miracle I'm not sick all the time. All the hospitals and nursing homes and sick people I deal with, it's miraculous that I'm not sick more than I am. My wife, she laughed at me. She's, in the last several years, made a lot of hospital visits with me. When I walk into the hospital, I go by those little germ machines, you know, and I'm doing this with my hands. I'll go in, visit somebody. The first thing I do, the first one of those things I pass, and I'm doing it again. I may have not even touched anybody or anything, but I'm killing what I can kill. And it's amazing I'm as healthy as I am. You say, why? Because I believe in washing my hands. I don't put my hands in my mouth. When I go home after church, the first thing I do after I take my coat and tie off, praise God, is to go wash my hands. And I've used hand sanitizer and, you know, Clorox and everything else all morning long. Wait a minute, I believe in being healthy, but the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Can I tell you one of the best things you can do is be in church, have a good spirit, a good heart, it'll keep you healthier.
Amen.
The more depressed you get, the sicker you are. Can I tell you why? Because you don't have a merry heart. Instead of being cranky and mean, why not get excited and happy in the Lord?
That's good.
It'll make you feel better. You know, laughing makes you feel better than being mad. Okay, let's all practice this. 1, 2, 3, let's laugh. You ready? 1, 2, 3. I love hearing Brother Barnes laugh. That's a belly laugh, and he's got a lot to laugh with. Amen? Some of you, for the first time, started feeling good because you actually laughed. Did you know a merry heart doeth good like a medicine? A healthy heart makes you feel good.
Amen.
I was at the hospital on Friday for Brother Jimbo's brother, and there was a male nurse there. He was probably my age or a little older, and he was caring for him. I said, Buck's not doing real well, is he? He said, no, it's not looking good, Pastor. I said, no, and I was reading the machines to him and his medications, and the guy said, he just looked at me. I said, Doc, in 30 years of the ministry, I know these things almost as well as you do. Trust me. I said, those two things right there, that's a bad sign. He just looked at me. He said, okay, you're spooky. The doctor came in. He said, now who are you? I said, I'm the pastor. And the nurse spoke up. He said, yeah, and he understands our language. So the guy started talking, and I said, well, what about, and what about? And the doctor looked at me and said, are you a doctor? I said, not your kind, but yes, sir.
Amen.
There was, I think, 5 nurses and a doctor in the room. And they said, look, we're getting ready to do an endoscopy. And I said, I'm leaving. I said, but before you do, I said, may I pray? They said, sure, Pastor. I said, I'd like everybody to stay here. And they looked at me. I said, because I'm going to pray for y'all, too. I prayed for Buck to get well if God wanted him to, or take him to heaven. Prayed for the doctors and nurses that were caring for him. I got done, and that first nurse that was in the room, that fellow my age or a little older, he reached across the bed and he said, Pastor, he said, I think that's only the first or second time in my whole career somebody's ever prayed for me at the hospital here. He said, thank you. The doctor said, that's the first time for me, younger guy, probably in his 30s. Who'd ever thought I'd said that was younger? Wait a minute. I said, well, you're the hands God's using to help Buck. I said, but just so y'all know, I said, 2 weeks ago, Buck took care of knowing for sure he's going to heaven. So even if what all you do doesn't work, he's going to a better place. The worst thing for him is that he stays around here. Another little nurse, she had to be in her 20s, little blonde lady. She looked at me, she said, I ain't never met a pastor like you. I said, I get that a lot, don't you worry. Say, what'd you do? Man, there's gospel tracts flying around the room like crazy to doctors and nurses.
Amen.
So, success is how the devil will attack you. Your health, don't let your health keep you from telling others about Jesus. Number three, Satan uses stress to attack us. Oh, I'm just so stressed. Oh, I'm so stressed. Good night.
I talked to a lady this week. I was out in the parking lot here, and I was holding the door for her. I said, ma'am, how are you today? She said, oh, I'm just so stressed. She said, how are you? I said, I'm fine. I'm the one that gives the stress, not gets it. She stopped and looked at me. She said, well, how do you do that? I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. She said, oh, I understand that now. And on she went. She went about in her stress. Now, my wife will tell you, stress comes to me, but I don't live with stress. I didn't really agree with the decision of my kids to stay in Florida. And he knows it. But I support him. If I had my way, I'd have had him here. But guess what? He's in God's will, doing what God wants. He's better there in God's will than here out of God's will. I can't worry about it. I'm not stressed about it. Oh, it's going to get windy. If you've lived in West Virginia very long, it gets windy here too. Trust me. Oh, but there's going to be rain. There's going to be rain here too. Now, wait a minute. It's not the decision I would have made for him, but he's 26 years old tomorrow. We did hold on to his birthday card because we weren't sure it was going to get there or it would have blown to Mexico City by the time he got it. Now, wait a minute. We let worry and pressure keep us from serving God. Oh, I'm just too stressed to tell somebody about Jesus. Then you're way too stressed. If you're more worried about your bunion than somebody dying and going to hell, quit worrying about your bunion and tell somebody how to get out of hell.
Amen.
Sorry. We let the struggles of life overwhelm us instead of letting them make us stronger. Did you know stress can make you stronger? It doesn't have to weaken you. It makes you weaker when you sit there and do nothing but think about it. The devil wants you to stress in order to weaken you. God wants to use it so that you can whip him with it.
I'm going to use a West Virginia terminology here, okay? Do you know what the exhaust of a cow is or a horse? All right, it's manure. You can sit there and complain about the manure of life and how bad it smells, or you could spread it on the field and grow a good crop with it. You can complain all you want. I decided I was going to shovel it into the field and use it to make something good out of it.
You say, but preacher, it smells. Yeah, it's going to smell whether it's sitting in the barn or out on the field. Might as well get it out of the barn, shovel it in the field, make it worthwhile. Dad and I took my gun out to the farm yesterday to tweak it in a little bit. And the farmer came in. He's got his bobcat, brother Mike. He'd been putting the cows on grain. And the barn is slick with exhaust. Yes. He said, can't keep the cows out of it. They're laying down in it. He said, I got to do this every day. And he's got a bobcat, and he'd just come back from putting it out in the field. And he's got the bucket down, and the remnants and the gleanings were dripping. Say, what'd you do? I climbed in between the bucket and stood there and talked to the farmer. Say, but preacher, that stinks. Yeah, but he's feeding them deer. He's making them deer nice and fat so that I can kill them and eat them. I could complain about the manure. I could thank God for it out in the field that's growing the crops to feed the deer so I can kill them. Amen. Huh. how you're looking at it determines the stress level. Amen. We get so stressed and nervous that we don't want to do anything for God. Oh, I'm just so stressed. I'm going to sit here and do nothing so that you can stress about doing nothing. I can stress and sit at home watching the news all day long, watching the storm reports, or I can get off my backside and go do something and make the devil mad by telling somebody about Jesus.
Amen.
Don't let stress keep you from getting the gospel out. Number four.
Satan uses our emotions to keep us from getting the gospel out.
It amazes me how fear controls people. Well, I couldn't tell somebody about Jesus. I'd be too afraid. That's an emotion. Can I tell you something? I'm too afraid not to tell somebody about Jesus.
I was going up the elevator the other day at the hospital. I think it was Friday. And I was in and the door started to shut. And I saw a lady. And I stuck my foot out. And I caught the door before it went all the way shut. And opened it back up. And she said, words I can't repeat. She said, can't believe you did that. I said, yes, ma'am, come on in. I said, what floor do you need? She told me. She said, why would you do something like that? I said, because you were going up. She said, I could have waited for the next one. I said, yes, ma'am, but my best friend told me I ought to help you. I was the only one in the elevator. She said, who's your best friend? I said, the one you were talking about out there. I said, but his name's Jesus.
Amen.
She said, I'm sorry. I said, you don't have to tell me, tell him. I reached in my pocket and gave her a gospel tract. She said, oh, I said that in front of a preacher.
Can I tell you something? Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is he. He said, oh, preacher, I couldn't say something like that. Why not? It's fun. Watch them wiggle. You don't have to.
Amen.
You know, people often don't want to get close to God due to their emotion. We talked about this on Wednesday night a couple weeks ago, how that the children of Israel said, it's okay for Moses to go talk to God, but we're too afraid of him. It's called a Baptist Pope. You want your preacher to walk with God, but how's your walk with God? Anger keeps us from serving God.
You get in a fuss with somebody and you're so mad, you couldn't tell somebody about Jesus at that moment because you're too angry and nobody would want to listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like an old banny rooster, it got showered down with a hose, amen?
We hear preachers say, well, if you don't do it for the right reason, then don't do it. That's a bunch of hogwash.
Yes, sir. That's right.
When my daddy, sitting right back there when I was a kid, said to me, son, it's Tuesday night, take the trash out. Because Tuesday night was trash night when I was growing up. He didn't say, as long as you got the right attitude, take the trash out. If I didn't have the right attitude, he adjusted the attitude. Either way, I was going to take the trash out. Guess what? Probably, more times than not, I didn't have the right attitude, but I still took the trash out. There's, you know, cruel and unjust punishment. Stinky trash with maggots and flies. You know, that's not one of those pleasant things in the month of July and August when, you know, it's just crawling with bugs and stink and rot. Nobody wants to take the trash out. You don't say, oh, son, would you like to have the privilege of taking the trash out? No. He didn't say, well, if you don't have the right attitude, don't do it. That's about as much sense as these preachers getting up, so-called preachers with no spine, saying, well, you ought to do it, but don't do it if you don't have the right attitude. They don't take their tithes that way.
That's right.
Amazing how hard they'll preach on tithing, but how little they'll preach on soul winning. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. Thank you, preacher. That's good stuff.
Well, I don't feel anything when I read my Bible. I don't find anywhere in the Bible where it says you're going to feel something. But you ought to read it anyway.
Yes.
Well, I want to feel something. Then read it till you feel something. But not every day do I read my Bible, Brother June, and feel something. Unless it's the hardness of my chair. I don't have to feel something to obey. That's the charismatics, the healers, feelers, and squealers. Y'all doing okay?
Man, I'm having fun right now. We're not to love or walk with God based on our feelings. We're supposed to do it because we're supposed to do it. God said do it. God didn't say you go into all the world and preach the gospel if you feel like doing it. God didn't say take the gospel to every creature if you feel like it. He said you go do it because that's how the devil is hindering you.
Amen.
Number 5, I've got to hurry. Satan uses your family to attack you. We all have family that doesn't understand living the biblical way. Can I tell you something? Yes, I have family that thinks I'm the weirdo. You say, you are. Yeah, I'm a nut for Jesus, amen, but I'm attached to the right tree.
Amen.
I'd rather be a nut for Jesus than a fire log in hell. I've got Christian family that doesn't understand me. You preach to your own grandparents' funerals and then wonder why nobody shows up to hear you anymore. Trust me. We all have family members that have disobeyed God that we could be ashamed of, but guess what? I'm not. Everybody doing all right? You don't have to hang your head because somebody in your family isn't living right. And I don't care if they're your own children. Hold your head up. God only had one perfect child, and the billions and billions and billions and billions of others have all done wrong.
Yes.
Your family knows your sin. And they can intimidate us to keep us discouraged, to keep us from doing right. And by the way, too many people listen to those that are doing wrong in our family, thinking that they know what's right.
Well, I'm doing wrong because I went to church and I went to Christian school, and I'm doing wrong because that's just a bunch of phony baloney stuff. And how's their life turning out right now? Isn't it amazing how we blame the school and the church for everything that goes wrong? How come we don't blame the public school for all the pregnancy, all the drug addicts, and all the sodomy?
Yes, sir.
All the filth, all the vileness.
Yes, sir.
I gotta hurry. We all have family who want to spend time together, but we ought not do it during church times. I love you, but I'm not missing church if my family that won't come to church is coming during church times.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm coming to church.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to leave at this time, go to church. I'll be back about this time. If y'all want to come, great. If not, you can sit here and do nothing or go shopping or do whatever you want to do, but I'm going to church.
Amen.
So, well, preacher, you don't have to worry about that in your family. Yes, I do. But I don't worry about it. I don't worry about it. Don't let your family members keep you from getting the gospel out. Number 6, Satan uses criticism to attack us. You know, the devil tries to discourage you by telling you that people aren't going to hear you anyway, so why go do it? I'm so proud of our people last Wednesday night. West Virginia had a big game over at RFK. Parking lot was full of cars. After church, they grabbed a big old stack of gospel tracts, started putting them on cars.
Amen.
Every car in the parking lot.
Yes.
Say, well, I wonder if anybody's going to read it. It'll probably be the same percentage of the doors I knocked on that left tracks in the doors.
Right.
Who cares? We did our part.
Yep. Yes, sir.
We did our part. We let people tell us, you can't do that for God. I went to public school all the way through 8th grade.
My eighth grade English teacher hated my internal organs. Literally. Now, the principal's mom lived catty-corner across the street from us. But she's the teacher that I wrote papers about people getting saved, about preaching. I wrote the gospel in every paper I had to write for English class. She got mad. She started failing every paper I did. I had to take it to the principal, and he had to have her regrade things because she was grading what it was about versus the grammar, because she gave us the freedom to write what she wants. So she thought she'd had me. She had me write a paper on riding a bus. I worked on a church bus route, so I wrote a paper on my church bus route. She gave me an F. I went back to the principal. He said he wrote about a bus route. You didn't say it had to be a school bus. It said a bus. Well, about a couple weeks before I was done, this lady really did not like me. I said, "Ma'am, thank God next year you don't have to put up with me and I don't have to put up with you." I said, "My mom and dad are going to put me in a Christian school." She said, "Good." She said, "Bye," and she took me out in the hallway. She thought she was really going to scold me. She said, "Young man, I'm going to tell you something. You'll never make anything of your life with your attitude the way it is. You are too narrow-minded. You'll never go to college. You'll never graduate from college. And you'll never do anything with your life." I have a doctor's degree. Guess she was wrong.
Amen.
You say, "Didn't that scare you?" No, made me mad enough to want to get through college English.
Amen.
We hear people, "Your church is a cult." They don't know the first thing what a cult is.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Is all you care about is numbers. Numbers, numbers, numbers. Numbers, numbers, numbers. Can I tell you something? You'll even have other churches criticize us because we care more about going soul winning than attracting a crowd.
Yes, sir.
Don't let criticism keep you from getting the gospel out. Let me very quickly, in 60 seconds, give you the last point. Satan uses intellectualism to attack us. I am not for being ignorant and unable to be able to read and write and get along in life. But man thinks he's smarter than God. Current education is humanism, and they want to appear to know more than man really knows. You know, men think they know so much that they don't need to know God. Matter of fact, man thinks he knows so much, his way to get saved is better than God's way. Man thinks he knows so much that he can dress up somebody like Barbie and Ken, call him the Pope. You can pay money and go to the confessional booth, and you can light your candles, and you can do your penance, and you can go through your catechism classes, you can do all these things, and eventually you're going to get to heaven anyway, so you just determine how long it's going to take you to get there. That sounds real good to man, but that's not God's way.
Right.
Man thinks he can devise his own plan to get to God.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
No, you get to heaven by God's way and God's way alone.
Amen.
Yeah, nobody wants to be labeled ignorant. Nobody wants to be labeled unintelligent. I get this a lot from these snooty-nosed preachers. You're just one of those fundamentalists, high on fun and not much on mentality. Well, Jesus put the peanut butter on the bottom shelf so everybody could reach it. He talked to a woman at a wellside about water. He talked to a man about that was hungry about bread. He talked to a rich ruler about being born again. You just preach too simple. You ought to have more complex and more alliterative outlines. I find no alliterative outline in Scripture from Jesus himself.
Amen.
He preached in stories so that stupid people like you and me could understand them and get born again.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
Man, I'm having fun. Nobody wants to be labeled ignorant, but may I say it? I'll carry it proudly. I've seen lots of thousands of people get saved. If that's what it takes to sit beside the bedside of a dying redneck,
Show him how he can know for sure he's going to heaven when he dies. And for the first time in probably decades, a tear escaped from his eye because he knew for sure he was going to heaven. I'll take that over any degree at any college in America.
Amen. Yes,
the paper that it's printed on isn't worth it compared to eternity for that man that's about ready to go to heaven right now.
Yes, sir.
Don't think Satan attacks us in these little bumps and events of life.
Oh, I got a flat tire. The devil's really fighting me. Oh, the light was red and I was late. The devil's really fighting me. Oh, bless your pitiful little heart.
The devil doesn't fight you that way. And by the way, most of us don't do enough to get on his radar screen to even get his attention. You're only getting his attention if you're getting the gospel out and people are going to get saved because of it. May I say this? Grace Baptist Church is going to be a bright light on the radar screen of the devil because we plan on getting the gospel out and keep it going out.
Amen.
We have passed out 107,000 or more gospel tracts in the last 5 years.
Amen.
We've had over 3,000 people get saved in 5 years.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? The devil's not real happy with us. But may I say this? I'm not real pleased with him.
Yes, sir.
Say, preacher, what do you do when the devil reminds you of your past? I remind him where he's going. I'm going to heaven. He's going to the other place.
Yes, sir.
Can I tell you something? Let's get that gospel out. You want to find out what satanic attack is? Start becoming a soul winner. Start telling people about Jesus. Start bringing people to church and getting them saved and watching their lives change. I'll promise you, you'll find what the satanic attack is all about. Stubbing your toe, getting your finger stuck in your nose or whatever, yeah, that's not satanic attack. Your car won't start. The devil didn't do that. But may I say this? You start winning people to the Lord, you're going to find out what he's going to do to you. I promise you, every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, God talked to me personally. Something in that sermon I personally needed. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Dozens of hands. You may put them down. I wonder, what are you going to do about it? I know our facilities are small. I know we're tight. But a sermon like this, you ought to get at an old-fashioned altar. Come as far forward as you can. And if God's speaking to your heart, if you're physically able to get up and move forward, I think you ought to come and kneel at this altar today